You know, it's hard for me to read this gospel without thinking about my cousins. About a year ago, I had a cousin who, after his 60th birthday and all the guests had left, couldn't breathe. And so he had stage 4 cancer of the lungs and brain tumors. He was rushed to the hospital by his wife. And within a few hours, he drifted into a coma. As the days turned into weeks and then months, the doctors advised his wife that it was time to consider taking him off of life support and preparing for the worst. Well, she refused, and she just kept saying, "No, I think he's just talking to Jesus." And she would do vigils by his bedside day and night. She would call all the ministers in the family to come and pray for him. And I remember one night when she called me up to pray for him and anoint him. He looked very close to the point of death, and I was sure that this was it. Imagine my surprise when I was informed that he woke up on their wedding anniversary and made a full recovery. Intrigued, I asked him over for dinner after some time had passed because I wanted to know what happened. And here's what he said to me. He said, "I found myself in a dark tunnel, but far off I could see a light and the image of a man. And I heard his voice, and he said to me, 'Do you know who I am?' And I said, 'Yes, you're Jesus Christ.' And the voice said, 'You are right. And now I'm sending you back to your wife.'" For my cousins, Jesus took them from a place of despair to a place of hope. And I've sat with many parishioners over the years who've also shared with me their near-death experiences. For some, it was a shattered glass. For others, it was a light in a tunnel, at the end of a tunnel. But whatever that experience was, these experiences were life-changing events for them. In this gospel today, we have another story of a near-death experience where Jesus turns despair into hope. But this story isn't about a 60-year-old man, but a 12-year-old girl and her agonizing father, who is absolutely beside himself in despair, looking for hope. Whenever there is deep loss, causing anxiety and fear and confusion, often the first voice that takes us over is the voice of despair, a complete loss and absence of hope. That voice will often say to us, "You have reached the end of the road. All options have been exhausted. All possibilities have ended." And sometimes in life circumstances, that's an accurate depiction of what's going on in front of us. And we feel like there's just nothing left. When I was 15 years old and my father died, I remember experiencing that kind of despair. I thought for sure to myself, "God, why would you take him from me? He was my everything and everything to me." But then I realized that while it may have felt like God had taken everything from me, that God hadn't taken everything. I had something left. God left me with a mother who was a rock, a family that loved me, a grandmother who fed me faith like you feed a baby applesauce. And through that faith, God promised to be with me always, to never leave me. And God would use the memories of my father to heal my heart, taking me from a place of despair to a place of hope, accompanying me with his presence. And so Jesus accompanies Jairus in this gospel today in his despair. Jairus, who's the temple authority, he comes to Jesus in despair, in this 11th hour, looking for a glimmer of hope. He's a high-ranking synagogue official, carrying the full weight of his position, a religious man himself. He is in charge of everything that goes on in the synagogue: prayer, fasting, teaching, almsgiving, sacrificial offering, forgiveness, healing, all of the experiences in the synagogue that happen in terms of accessing God. And yet, when his 12-year-old daughter falls ill, he finds himself helpless and in despair, needing something bigger, something beyond himself. And so he finds Jesus, who was by now pushed out of his hometown synagogue near the sea, preparing to give his teachings to this crowd of people who have followed him. And then the scripture tells us that Jairus steps forward and he falls to Jesus' feet and he pleads with him on behalf of his daughter. And he says, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, please come and help me. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she may live and be well." Jairus brings his humility to Jesus in seeking help for his daughter. He doesn't assume that he's entitled to Jesus' help. He doesn't assume that he can control Jesus' response. But what he knows about Jesus is what we know about Jesus, is that he has a heart for people who are suffering, who are hurting, and who are oppressed. And so Jairus presents his broken heart and his desperate situation, not really knowing what the outcome is going to be. And notice that Jesus here doesn't say, "Hey, Jairus, where were you when they were putting me out of the synagogue for reading the passage in Isaiah?" He doesn't say that. He simply looks at him with love. And Jesus holds no grudge. Jesus has no chip on his shoulder. And sometimes we think that God does when we're in trouble. We wonder if God's going to help us. We sometimes think that God will hold our past mistakes against us. But here is proof right here that God doesn't do that. When God looks at you and looks at us, God looks at us through the eyes of love, not the eyes of judgment. And so Jesus looks at Jairus through these eyes of love and begins to walk off with him, accompanying him on the journey. And as they began to talk to the crowds following them, headed to Jairus' house, people from his house arrive with news that no parent ever wants to hear. "Sir, your daughter has died. There's no need for you to trouble the teacher anymore. It's too late. Despair has won." After the assassination of his son, Dr. Martin Luther King, and his son, A.D., who was found mysteriously floating in a pool, and his wife, Alberta, who was assassinated while she played our Father's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, at the organ in her church, Dr. King Sr. was asked a question by a reporter. He said, "How do you live with what you have lost? You have lost your granddaughter, your wife, your sons. How do you keep faith and keep believing given all that you have lost?" And he simply replied this. He said, "I can live with what I lost because I thank God for who and what I have left." He understood that with God, we are never left with nothing. God doesn't deplete us. Reverend King knew that he had his faith. He had his friends. He had his remaining daughter in a world community that grieved with him and that was accompanying him on his journey. His faith told him that God was walking right by his side. And that is what Jesus reminds Jairus of today in this gospel. He says, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with you. Just have faith." So accompanied by Jesus and this community, they continue their journey together, walking in that faith. And you know, faith is kind of funny. Sometimes we think that it's a mechanism to just get what we want, but it isn't. Faith is a gift. It's a gift from God that takes us through life's circumstances, because we never know what we're going to face or the outcome, but it is our faith that reminds us that we are not alone, that God is with us. On that journey, we are asked to put our complete trust and confidence in the God of our faith, in something greater than ourselves. Like Reverend King, Jairus had to look upon what and who he had left: Jesus and a community of concern. So it matters that Jesus walks with us and that our community walks with us when we are in despair. Yesterday, you may have heard that we had a rally, Families Belong Together, hosted and co-sponsored with 20 other organizations. There were hundreds of people that showed up yesterday afternoon, gathered at 3 o'clock, concerned for the grief and the plight of the children and families being separated and detained, which caused them great despair. We stood in solidarity to send a message to the families that we're walking with you. We sent a message to our government that we will not sanction inhumane treatment heaped upon the lives of children and families seeking refuge. We stood together in what we had left, each other and our faith. A faith that welcomes the stranger, a faith that gives bread to the hungry, a faith that gives drink to the thirsty and attends to the sick and practices inclusion and compassion. We held a collective belief together that we are one people of equal value and of equal humanity. And we declared at this rally that we will not set aside our compassion for children in their despair, because when we do, it is a clear sign that we have lost our way. It became clear that we are recognized as Americans by our compassion. And not just our sense of justice, but our delivery of it. And that delivery involves helping our leaders find their way from inflicting despair to providing hope and opportunity for families seeking refuge, to accompany them on their journey, just like Jesus does today. And see, the work of going from despair to hope, it's not just for adults or governments. Everybody can play a role in that. You may have heard the story this week of a 6-year-old boy named Austin in Atlanta. Him and his 3-year-old sister, they heard the stories of migrant children being separated from their families as young as 18 months. And they wanted to do something about this despair. And so these children went to their mother, and so when she asked them, "What is it that you want to do?" Little Austin said, "I want to do a lemonade stand because I want to help get kids out of jail." With a goal of raising $1,000, Austin and his 3-year-old sister raised $13,000 to help these families. Glory to God. They took a situation from despair and they turned it into hope. So Jairus is seeking refuge with Jesus, and Jesus shows us how to walk with those in distress. Jesus walks in that faith as they make their way to his house, and when they get there, they find more distress, more despair, a house full of professional wailers and weepers announcing that death has come to this house. But Jesus leaves the crowd behind. He leaves them outside, and he takes James, Peter, and John with him. And he begins to question the commotion. And he says, "This child is not dead, but asleep." Well, they laugh and they ridicule Jesus at that suggestion. They're probably thinking to themselves, "Look, we wail at funerals all the time, and I think we know what a dead child looks like." But he doesn't have time to explain this to them. He's on a mission to restore life, which is what we are called to do. So he puts them out, and he takes the disciples with him, and he enters the room with her parents. He takes the dead girl by the hand, and he says, "Talitha kaum, little girl, I say to you, arise." And she immediately rises, and everyone is utterly surprised. They feed her. Jesus strictly tells them to not speak about what they saw. So what is the lesson in this for us? It is that Jesus will accompany us in our despair and in our darkest hour. Jesus gives us this lesson, which is that we are to resist being afraid and simply have faith. He will take us from despair to a place of hope. He raises Jairus from despair to hope. He raises the wailers from skepticism to faith. Imagine their faces when they saw her walking around. And he raises the little girl from death to life. And in this moment of darkness, he will raise us too. We are being called to pay attention to the suffering of others, to keep raising the possibility of life, to interrupt despair, to push into our faith towards hope, and to demand something better. We're being called to do that because Jesus shows Jairus that even in death and dark circumstances, we have a reason to press on into our faith. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, said this. She said, new life always starts in the dark. Whether it is the seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, new life starts in the dark. And so Jairus' little girl in this gospel today, her new life started in the dark. And she experienced a rising, a breaking of a new day. And our world is in a dark place right now, but we will rise above it too. In fact, there's already a rising happening in our hearts. Can't you feel it? A rising that despair can never conquer. Why? Because we are people of hope and we are people of faith who know that Jesus is always accompanying us.